Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm here with you today only because of God's grace. This is the pastor, Pastor Ola Starling, with the Anointed Word International Ministries. I am blessed to be here today. I don't take my being here for granted, but I give all the praise and the honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ. For he is the because. He puts the be in because. And because of him, I am. And this morning, I say thank God for you that are listening this morning. Thank you for your support. Tell your friends about the radio broadcast. Tell them to come in and hear the word of God, because I want to give you word, praise God, that will be uplifting, and word, praise God, that will be, praise God, a word that you can live with daily. The word of God, that you can eat it daily. Because the Bible tells us that we must what? Eat the word. We must eat the word daily. It is a meal. It is a prescription that is being given. And the prescription, my friend, it works. It works. It is a prescription by the medical doctor, Dr. Jesus, and the word works if you work it. It'll work if you work it. But this morning, Father, we are so grateful that you have allowed us to come to you once again and to be able to praise God, to just talk about how good you are. And praise God, not only that, God, but give you praise and glory and honor for allowing us to get up this morning. And do we have use in activities of our limbs being closed in your right mind? Because, God, there are so many today, God, do not have the right mind. And the right mind means I can dwell upon you, Father God, because your word declares that if I, praise God, will make it be known, praise God, that you, praise God, and you are the head of my life. You are doing what you need to do in my life. Father God, you will keep me in perfect peace because my mind is stayed on thee. Father, I'm grateful. Bless those, praise God, that are listening. Let them, praise God, be energized to know, praise God, that you have the answer to every solution and you have a way out. Praise God. You have a way out to every situation. But they must come to you and acknowledge that you are the Christ. Father, bless them once again. Save those that not know you in the pardon of their sin. But Father God, let them know, praise God, that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. And I do ask it to be so. Place those in before them, Father God, that would be a witness of you. To let someone know, praise God, speak to them this day to let them know that Christ is still saving individuals. Amen. But this morning, praise the Lord, I just want to talk with you briefly, praise God, about just a subject. You know, we come because we want to give you a subject to give you a little understanding that you can follow through with me. And this morning, I'm grateful because this morning we're going to talk about something about that we both, praise God, everybody can be a part of. And this morning that we want to talk about, did you know that every saint of God has a past? And every sinner, a future. Did you know that? Every saint of God has a past. And every sinner has a future. That's right. But this morning, we're going to be talking to you from Luke 19, 1 through 10. And I thank God for Minister Cooper with this message this morning. It's a blessing. Praise the Lord. I'm going to talk to you about every saint of God has a past and every sinner has a future. Because, you know, many times people talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ and sometimes they give the little, you know, the little pits about, you know, what it is and what it can do and what it's all about. But this morning I want to talk to you about we knowing that when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it offers us a brand new beginning. It's good news. The Bible is that it gives to those who seek after it, who receive it by faith. It gives us a new life, a new purpose. It gives us new attitude, new friends, new goals, and a new eternal relationship with our maker, our creator of mankind. All these things is in seeking the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Now, I was thinking and reading up on this message and thinking, the Lord gave me a writing years ago, and it was something, praise God, that I keep with me because it means so much. And in this writing, it states that, I was not born in this world in defeat, neither does failure flow through my veins. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The household of failure is not my destiny. But I will persist until I succeed in Christ Jesus. The main place we focus, the word we focus on this morning is persist, meaning I won't quit, I won't stop, nothing won't stop me. I'm going to persist, I'm going to keep pushing toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to look back. I'm not going to put my hands to the plow and turn back. I'm going to press because I know that there is a blessing and power in the press. Amen. But this morning we're talking about we're going to keep continuing to stand with God and being persistent and seeking and getting everything that he has that he wants to give to each and every individual. And many have started out, you know, with this, I'm going to do this for Christ, I'm going to do that for Christ, and then all of a sudden something happened, a mistake happened, things don't go right in their life, and they just put it down, it's not working. So it'll work if you work it. But you got to get with God and you got to stay with the Lord Jesus Christ because the enemy don't want you to be saved, my friend. He wants to call you into eternal damnation. And what we're saying here this morning, see, we would that writing would express the desire that many of starting and again and putting off the past and with all of his mistakes and his pains and their future and their failure. I'm sorry, their failures. But the past can hold some very horrible and terrible memories. And it follows us sometimes even into our present. And it is hard to put it, our past behind us. Like some people won't let you live it down. Some people say, oh, I remember when, but baby, you need to remember me now because guess what? I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, new things have taken place in my life. See, I'm not the old it used to be. I'm the new creature now because the Lord Jesus Christ has come into my life and he has made a difference in my life today. Yes, I have a past. You see? Yes, I have a past. But when the Lord saved me, I have a future now. So this is what we're saying here this morning. We want to let you know that you do not have to walk around with your past haunting you. You can have a brand new future. No, regardless of what the neighbors knew you as, it's what you are right now. Amen. And sometimes, praise God, we allow the past, praise God, to have a huge weight, that puts huge weights upon us, and it pulls us down. And sometimes we never really let them go. And that means that we can never really be at peace. What I once was is not what I am now. And that is one of the wonderful gifts that God offered to us is with salvation. You can forget all of your past through salvation. You better listen to me good. You can forget all of your past. But, yes, when you receive salvation. So, see, when a man turns his heart to believe of the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him for his salvation, and his future now is no longer in what he did, but his future now lies in heaven. And there is a lot that goes with it. You understand? And once, when a man hears God's truth, that he is a sinner, you must respect, first of all, and recognize. You can't just jump and say, you got to, just like a person with an alcoholic problem. When they go to Alcoholics Anonymous, they first got to stop and admit that they are alcoholic. You have to admit that you are a sinner and understanding that he is undeserving of heaven. You got to admit that I'm a sinner. It doesn't matter what you have, who you are, how educated you are, what you drive, how much money you save, or who you are, where you live at. It doesn't matter. What matters is you must pronounce, I am a sinner, and I need to be saved. I need the Lord Jesus Christ in my life that I may be able to receive the undeserving and receive the heaven, the gifts that God has for me, realizing that his truth, they state before God, you see, you got to realize and state that you can't come walking up in that word, here I am. No, baby, you got to release it. I'm a sinner. I need to be saved, Lord Jesus, and realize that the truth stated before God, and that even if you accept it, when you're accepting God's offer of freely giving grace, God forgives him of all of his sins. See, you got to first of all admit it. And then when you admit this, my friend, you become from sin, you become through the past, you go walk into the present, but then your present will push you into your future. You better listen to me carefully. You go through your sins, your past, your future. Yes. And then you step into your, you go through your sins, your past, and your present, and then you step into your future. Now, that's uplifting right there. You mean I got hope? Yes. The uplifting is the truth. It is it's the only offer of hope. For otherwise, there would be no hope. You know, they used to say a long time ago, keep hope alive. He is knowing that you know who Jesus Christ is, that you are released from the bondage of sin. Thank you, Father. Released from sin. Nothing else matters. You can have it all, but if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, it means nothing. You have nothing, my friend. But let's look at what happens when God meets a sinner, and the name of this sinner was Zacharias, and he meets the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see, Zacharias met the Messiah, Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking in the book of Luke 19, 1 through 2, okay? And it says, and the Bible said that Jesus was passing through Jericho, and which is a city near Jordan River, to the north of what? The Dead Sea, okay? And then it said that it was the first city that God gave to Israel when they entered the promised land. Uh-huh. And it seemed that Zacharias saw, and he had heard, he heard that Jesus was passing by, and out of curiosity, he wanted to get to look, just get a look. You know, sometimes we need to get curious about what is Jesus saying, or what is the minister talking about. Get curious and want to know more about who Jesus is. Pick up a little curiosity, yes, and then you would find out sometimes curiosity will bring you to your future. Yes, and see, he wanted to get to know and to look at it. He didn't want to get involved. He just wanted to look. But see, but there was a crowd of people following Jesus. You got to get curious. Why are these people following this person? Why are they listening to what she has to say? And most likely he had heard of Jesus, and now he was passing by and wanted to see what he looked like. I just want to see what he looks like. Curiosity. Yes, curiosity. Mom just said curiosity killed the cat. But you see, Zacharias had a problem. He was a short man, very little short man, something like a little dwarf, you know, a little dwarf person. And when he came to the side of the road, he could not see because of the crowd of taller people before him. So he was trying to push through and look up, but nobody recognized him. He was a little man. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to get ahead above the crowd. But Zacharias was good and moved. Short people often felt a little, you know, intimidated. You know, some people to this day, they look at taller people and look at you like, who is that? You know, they look intimidated, but you know, we all have our little perks. But then God loves us all, amen? But then anyway, then he says, however, this day had been a short and getting, he was short and getting above the crowd, caused the Lord Jesus Christ to see him, and that led to his salvation. Sometimes you got to get in the face of God, my people. Get in the face of God and let God hear you. Let God know, he knows that you never, he wants to see and hear you. You got to make some waves. You got to start moving about letting God know, I need to know who you are. And Zacharias was a publican. So that meant that he was a Jew who hired himself out to, you know, he hired himself out to the Romans, who had invaded and conquered Israel, you know, back in the day as a tax collector. But he wanted to hear, he needed more than that. But he did not know that anyone who liked to pay taxes, even to their own government, you know how some of us do now, baby. You already know about them government income tax. But certainly it was really worse to have to pay them to a foreign nation that overpowered your country. And this made the, and then Zechariah made the position publicly worse was that he was a Jew, a follower of the countrymen. Not of Jesus, but of the countrymen, who had betrayed his own country. And a tailor collector, you see, with these taxes. He had to get that money one way or the other. But the worst was the system of the publicans. The Romans would set a figure of a particular area to pay in the taxes, and the publican would then set a higher what sum. They was taking money that they shouldn't even been taking, which was up to him, up from his own pocket. He was taking money, overcharging the individual. Uh-huh. The fact was, the publican was a traitor and a thief. He was a traitor, excuse me, and a thief. See, he was a traitor, collected these taxes. you know, they take from you. You know you didn't owe it, but you still had to pay it. But we're still talking about a man who met Jesus as a sinner. You see, it doesn't matter what position you're in, who you are. You can be the judge, the lawyer, the preacher, the teacher. You can be the prostitute. You can be the dope addict. You can be whatever. You can be a child molester. You can be a part of, you know, you can be one place God that loves, you know, do things that's untalkable, things that you do that you're ashamed of. It does not matter. God is able to forgive you for whatever your sins may be, my friend. And he said, Jesus, he had come to the place where Zechariah was up in the tree. He stopped and tells him to quickly get out of that tree. Come home and prepare for your visit, for his visit. Zechariah was overjoyed. He was a traitor now. He stole by pen and paper, and the folks in the town hated him, and his only friends were the other publicans. He was an outcast. But this famous man whom everyone had heard of wanted to come to visit him. I am sure Zechariah jumped at that opportunity to have Jesus to come and sit in his presence in his home. What are we saying here? The passage says Zechariah received the Lord Jesus Christ joyfully. He was thrilled to have Jesus to come into his house. What? Jesus coming to my house? He didn't really think about what he had been doing to the people, how he had took their monies and stole their money. But Zechariah became a changed man. In Luke 19:8, see, being in the presence of God or hearing what the Lord is doing or what he has done, it can change your life, a life-changing experience. But the Bible just seemed without, you know, explanation. He jumped from the scene by the road to then stage Zechariah's conversation and showed him declaring Jesus that he was a changed man. But listen. But I think there is a lot that can be read into this statement. He received him joyfully. And then in that statement, we find that the answer to what made him a changed man. You see, to receive him joyfully. It means that if he had to accept the person for who he is, Jesus is the Messiah. He had performed miracles and fulfilled all Old Testament prophecies and concerning the coming of the Redeemer, the Israel, the Messiah. Zacharias, upon meeting Jesus, believed and accepted him as the Messiah. He put his faith in him for his salvation. He had to believe in the man Jesus Christ. As a Jew, he knew the promise of the Messiah. He knew it, but he just wasn't working with it. He didn't too much believe it. But now he believed and accepted that the Messiah was in his house. Salvation is more than just a head knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also as a heartfelt repentance, my friend, for the ones sinners. Not the evidence of this is seen that himself as a sinner. He was also knew that he was. But there was another element without knowledge. The new element was you got to repent. You got to repent. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your position is in this life. You must repent to be saved. The Bible declares, it said, we all must repent or we all will likewise perish. And Jesus, speaking to the gospel, his disciples would be preaching, he said in Luke 24:47, and that the repentance and the remission of sin should be preached. Listen to me carefully. Is it preached today? I would say, I'm moving on. But it says Luke 24:47, and that the repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in the name all nations beginning at Jerusalem. His repentance is from the heart, and he vowed to give had his good to the poor. Well, he had took it from the poor. Now his repentance came, and it condemned him, and he wanted to give back and redo and do his first works all over again. And to those who had taken the money from the false accuser, he promised to repay it four times. What he had taken, he openly admitted that he had stole from his countrymen, the traitor. Okay? But see, it takes God to condemn. God will condemn you. The word of God will find you wherever you are. And this was a requirement of the Old Testament law in Exodus 21:22-21 and Numbers 5:7. It states, it means he would give back what he had stolen and four times more. Zechariah's statement was not just a proclamation of his own righteousness, nor the grounds of his righteousness, but it was the evidence, listen to me, evidence of sincerity of his repentance and the confession which was with his mouth is made unto salvation. Yes, Romans tells us, he tells us in order for you to be saved, you must first confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. You got to confess this thing. You got to confess your salvation. Your mouth, with your mouth, is made unto salvation. It reveals what Jesus said to him. And Jesus said unto him, today is the day of salvation. Today is salvation come to your house, Zacharias. For as much as he also is the son of Abraham, Jesus said that Zacharias had received salvation. For as much, which means because of, showed what was in his heart. He was a changed man. It's not a hard thing to do. It's just that you got to want to do it, and you do it. See, people make it look like it's so hard to get saved. It's so hard to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. It is easy, as my mother would say, as taking candy from a baby. It's easier than that. You open your mouth and you confess. People want to beat you down and slap you down and roll you around. You need to believe to receive, Yes, and forsake his sins and receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Zechariah was a Jew by birth. His sins and unbelief had separated him from God, of his father. Now by his faith in Jesus Christ, he has become a true Jew, a true child of God, and a true descendant of Abraham, both by birth and now by rebirth, being born again. Too many people today, praise God, they don't talk about being born anymore. Everybody not come in saved. Everybody not saved. It doesn't matter. You're born saved. Come on, somebody. You know, people now don't talk about being born again. You don't need to be born again. Just come on in. I've heard people say, I haven't done no sin. What you say? But the Bible said that we was born in iniquity and sin, that our mother did conceive us. You're born in sin. He had experienced what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3 when he told his Pharisees that he must be born again. Zacharias received a new birth and was born again. Today, praise God, God is saying to individuals, you need to be born again. You need to be born again. Don't mean going back into your mother's womb, because you can't go back into that, but you can be born of the Spirit and of the water. Come on, somebody. Noted that in such a short time, Zechariah's life was changed. It didn't take no 4 or 5 years, just in a second, just in realizing what you are, who you are, and the change that must take place in your life. His former life of living in sin, controlled by sin, lust for wealth, and rejecting God was over, and the past. He became a new man, reconciled to God, his creator. God is saying, when are you going to become the new man, reconciling your differences, coming to God, your creator? What caused this change was enabled this man was to be put, enabled this man to put his past behind him. Remember, every saint has a future, has a past, but every sinner has a future. First, he was curious about who is this man I'm talking about? Who is this? He was curious about who Jesus is and all the claims that were made on him. They were introduced to him by the witnesses of a friend through a service or through somebody witnessed to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Get curious. I want to know, who are they talking about? Who is this powerful man? How can he do all of this? I need to know this because it's part of your salvation, my friend. You need to know who Jesus is. You need to come to the conclusion, my life is not up to par. If Jesus, should call me home today, because once she calls you, you can't come back. But you need to be ready to meet the Maker. You need to be ready to know, regardless of what happens today, my life is hidden in God. Ah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. They are introduced to him by the witnesses of friends, people who want to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're listening right now and don't know who Jesus is, you need to get on your knees and say, Father, you ain't got to go pray all these prayers, these unpronounced words. Father, I am a sinner, and I need to be saved. Save me. That's all? Yes. Sincerity. Uh-huh. Knowing that Jesus would do it, not me, I said he. But you note that Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Say that again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Did you notice that in Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man, not the preacher, evangelist, prophetess, you know, pastor, okay, missionaries, no. He said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Ask and it shall be given. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. Jesus always stops when the sinner seeks to know who he is. He's never too busy to hear from you as a sinner. He will never tell you he don't have time. He's never too busy. He's always seeking the sinner, and he always reveals himself to that person, and he always invites himself into their life. He does that. If you will open up, he'll come in. He will be with you, and you will be with him. You become his people, and he become your God. How can you do your life, live life every day without Jesus on your side? This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is a work in progress, even right now. How do you know? That is what the Bible says. Do you read your word? Do you just go by what the pastor say? Do you read it for yourself? Revelation 3:20, the Lord speaking to what? The church of Laodicea, he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sit with him and he with me. See, they was religious. Even Zechariah had, but he was lost in his sins. Jesus beckoned him to open the door. Zechariah, open the door into your heart. Let me in, and I'll show you what it's all about. My dear friend, is Jesus knocking at your heart today? Is he knocking and you won't let him in? Remember the poem that we read to you at the beginning. You was not born in this world in defeat. Neither does failure go through your veins, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The household of failure is not your destiny. You need to know you are not born in this world in defeat. And let the change, the words in some, and the light of God's word. There is a wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all of our past sins, mistakes, and heartaches, our failures, our disappointments, our griefs, can be dropped at the bottom of the ocean. And you can put on the coat of many colors of freedom, knowing who Jesus Christ is. And you will never have to put it on again. Remember this, it is found that Jesus Christ, the Redeemer and Savior, was washed away all our sins and make us as white as snow, my friend. Yes, the people who are lost, who have not received Jesus Christ as their Savior and received salvation, you have a future. And the future can be experienced this day and have joy and peace in the time of giving that they might say and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Would you accept him today? Ask him to come into your heart. You live with him and he with you. He'll be your God and you will be his people. The choice is clearly up to you to make a choice. And when you make that choice by action, equally by the necessities of action, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, repent now. Repent, every one of us, or we all will likewise perish. Just remember, every saint a past, but every sinner has a future. I pray that you be blessed from this word today. Know that Jesus Christ is standing with outstretched arms saying, come, and out of no wise cast you out. You be blessed. And remember, The Lord loves you just where you are, but he want to make a change to make you better. You be blessed throughout this day. Have a good day.